So, Stephen, have you ever been involved in either a garden party or an erotic billboard?
You know, you could just combine them for a really good time.
I mean, maybe it's in the garden party guide that that's, you know, how you advertise for a garden party.
I've never been to a garden. I've been to like an outdoor wedding reception that I thought of when watching this.
No, if I've ever been to a garden
it
party.
Wasn't Connecticut casual. You live way closer to Connecticut than I do.
Oh, I live crazy close to Connecticut. Like, we go to lunch in Connecticut and then come back.
Is that lunch ever in a garden? And is it ever only finger sandwiches?
It's at a crepe place in Greenwich, which is fancy.
Go get my crepes.
I know. I only like to day trip to Greenwich.
Do people announce you loudly as you come in?
Yes, they do, actually. As your car drives past the border, there is like a man there and all of his finery announcing at the top of his lungs every car that enters the state.
Master Tiff Armit! Like that.
Like just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Garden party.
Yes.
It's our episode this week.
We are talking about garden party, as you said, season 8, episode 4.
We took
1
week off. It's falling apart.
Hey, you jumped on my thing.
That's what she said.
Oh. We still got it. The week off affected us not at all. We are talking about Garden Party, season 8, episode 4, October 13th. Originally airing October 13th, 2011. We have a cold open. Also, before we talk about the cold open, a little insider info about this episode. This is the first time that Mindy Kaling is listed as an executive producer.
Woo!
Go, Mindy!
Good promotion.
So we do have a cold open. Our cold open is Andy has commissioned a bunch of new billboards advertising the company, and he and Dwight were in the photo shoot for the billboard. And it turns out these billboards, they got a little, they got defaced and everyone's noticing.
Someone painted dongs all over them.
Covered in dongs, I believe was the phrase.
How do I put this? If there's an opportunity for a graffiti artist to work in a phallic shape, interacting with the artwork, it'll happen. And Andy gave them that opportunity.
Stanley finds it hilarious.
Morning, Stanley.
Meredith thinks it's edgy.
Great billboard. Funny, edgy, right up to the line without crossing it. Loved it.
Which one did you see?
Washington Street, the one with like 20 dongs on it.
And we see them, some of them very quickly, and you can see how they would be defaced. But the one with Dwight bending over looking for their, you know, their lower prices, their dropped prices, and Andy's standing behind him looking regal? I don't know what the word would be.
Triumphant.
And Dwight's just
surprised.
He's on the receiving end of the graffiti. We'll say that.
I see bits like this from The Office, like now rewatching and remembering. And I watch new shows like something like a Schitt's Creek, and I'm like, oh man, The Office already did that.
The exact billboard joke.
Yep. So way to go, Office.
Way to break that ground.
Yeah, groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what we're breaking right now in this cold open.
Wait, from the photo shoot with you and me?
Yeah, Dwight.
No.
So the main part of the episode, though, is centered around an event. And we love when The Office gets out of the office. And for the majority of this episode, we are at Shroot Farms, which is pretty exciting. We also love being at Shroot Farms. And Andy is throwing a garden party, mainly to impress Robert California, as we find out very quickly. But there are some rules and etiquette going on, and then we get to see the garden party. Overall, I really like this episode. I think it's really fun. Like I said, I really like being kind of off campus for these episodes. And this one in particular has some great gym pranks. And we also find some deep information about our characters.
Yeah, I was thinking about this episode. I watched it last night and then skimmed it again this morning. And I finally, just a few minutes ago, put my finger on what this episode is trying to do. So Michael Scott was at times a difficult person to love, but over the years they softened his character by showing his really like deep desire for friends and for family and how he was damaged because he didn't have those things. And I think what this episode is trying to do is show us that beneath Andy's sort of like happy-go-lucky, like singing and dancing and banjo playing, that he does have some like real stuff going on. And we saw that through the lens of like the deal with Angela, but now we're also seeing it through his relationship with his parents and his brother and with Robert California. And what really, it just really struck me this time that this episode is letting us sort of see more of Andy than maybe we have before, or maybe have in a while, because the Angela, Dwight, Andy, you know, love triangle was, you know, a couple years ago now.
Yeah, and Andy is way more sympathetic than maybe the original Michael Scott was, because we've been with him for a long time. Like, he's been with the branch since he came from the Stamford, Connecticut crew. And so we have seen him. We've talked about how he's evolved. We've talked about how the show writers like really turned him around from someone that was extremely annoying into someone that we kind of like his quirks, and the kind of the fixing of Andy, especially through that anger management episode. But here with him being manager, we don't see him being faced with a lot of like really harsh judgment from the rest of the staff, which I really like. Like, they're not giving him a super hard time for being manager. Like, in the opening part of this episode where he is explaining and over-explaining the garden party to everybody in the conference room, once he kind of reveals that he's doing it partly for Robert California to impress his new boss here, everyone's like, oh, why didn't you tell us in the first place? Of course, like, they're along with it. Like, they're willing to play along with Andy and help him out and let him seem like the good boss. Like, it's not like they are fighting him being manager. They're kind of like fallen into it, and it kind of feels in place. But we do get with Andy now as manager, he is much more highlighted as the leader, and we are seeing him work his way through becoming a leader. And in this, we are getting this like really hard to watch at times glimpse of his personal life and how he is constantly struggling to look for approval from his father, who willingly and very easily gives it to his brother, as we heard about the whole name change thing in the past, where Andy was named Walter Jr. before, and then they gave it to his younger brother. And you can clearly see that the younger brother is the favorite, even like to a really kind of upsetting degree. And Andy is in constant struggle to prove to his family that he is worthy. And now with this new job, he's kind of using this as a jumping off point to be like, hey, I have a much better job now. Like, I should also have some recognition. But as we see throughout this episode, it really doesn't seem to matter what Andy does. He's not going to get that approval, but we are slowly seeing Andy find that approval from his friends as opposed to seeking it out through his family.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. He's explaining this. He has this video. Turns out his brother got a promotion. Although his brother seems like the type who wouldn't work and just like is a moocher, but I guess he's working and got a promotion. And so they had a garden party, and there's this clip of like his dad and his brother singing together, and Andy's sort of at the edge of the frame looking dejected. And so he's telling everyone that it's to impress Robert California, but it's also to impress his parents and to look for that acceptance or approval that he feels like he doesn't have.
So before we get all the way to the garden party, I want to point out a couple little things that happens in the beginning of this episode. I really love the phone call that Robert California has with Andy about possibly bringing marmalade or basil as a gift to this garden party.
Andrew, I picked up two possible gifts to bring this afternoon. One, a pot of marmalade.
Ooh, that sounds great.
So that is what you want, then, the marmalade?
Sure.
You don't want to hear the other one. You love marmalade.
Oh, I'll hear the other one.
It's a basil plant.
I just love the way that man says marmalade.
Easy.
I can't handle it.
Bring it down a notch. Don't go defacing any billboards.
Okay.
I also like, he mentions the dress code as Connecticut casual. Tiff, this is a thing. I know you know this because you're just in Connecticut all the time.
I mean, it is a thing. It actually is. I could probably picture it. It probably has a lot of like layered polos and popped collars and like those sweaters tied around your shoulder with that like knot from the sleeve. That's exactly what I can see Connecticut casual being.
Yeah, it's like a button-down shirt, but you can have some buttons undone. Sweater test, khakis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For women, a loose floral dress or blouse skirt combination. I'm reading from the internet here.
Of course.
You know, you can have, that sweater, you know, over your shoulders tied up. It's basically what Andy looks like every day. Andy is Connecticut casual.
I'm picturing like a blucher, you know. It's a casual shoe for yachting.
Wow. Did you just know that?
I did just know that.
Too much time in Connecticut over there.
I guess so. Anyway, so yeah, the Connecticut casual look is a real look, although Stanley is curious if it is equivalent to the Pennsylvania business look.
What's the dress code on this?
I'm glad you asked. Connecticut casual.
Any chance Connecticut casual is Pennsylvania business, i.e. this is what I'm wearing to your party.
I think what he's saying is I'm going to come in what I wore to work that day.
That is what Stanley's saying.
There's also an undercurrent of Gabe still being angry with Andy.
I cannot believe that Andy is throwing a party like this just to impress the CEO. Classic Gabe move. Hey, Andy, how about you don't steal my business strategies, and I won't dress like my life is just one long brunch.
This is a really funny burn against Andy, and I guess the Connecticut casual lifestyle.
He's jealous that he didn't think of having a garden party. He's jealous that he didn't think of giving a toast at the garden party. There are moments where Gabe is interjected in this and he's kind of being one-upped by Andy. And I don't think that that's a very comfortable place for Gabe to be since he had that huge rivalry with Andy in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun because we saw how Gabe acted with Joe Bennett, kind of sucking up, you know, kind of being the character that he is. But now he has to like start over with somebody new and he feels like he's not making any ground up.
Another thing that happens before we head over to the garden party, Pam and Angela are having a little like side by side lunch and going over kind of their pregnancies together. And it comes out that Pam is planning on naming the new baby Philip after her grandfather. And Angela comes right back at that instantly and says, I'm naming my baby Philip after my cat.
Philip is the name that we're using. It's after my favorite cat.
Oh, wow. Funny. It's after my grandfather. It's after my cat.
So there is like this naming contention going on throughout the episode as well.
We also have this very quick moment, and we get a lot of Moe's in this episode, which I love, but...
Oh, me too!
the first thing we see of Moe's is Dwight telling people, hey, use my directions, don't look on Google Maps. And so, of course, Jim pulls up Google Street View, and Dwight and Moe's are on a seesaw, looking very excited.
So, we've typed in the address. Now let's take a look at the street view.
They don't warn you when the cameras are driving by.
It is a really, really funny picture.
Oh, yeah, shirtless with just those coveralls on and his hand in the air. It looks so, it's so charming. A fun day at Shroot Farm.
Seesaws are, you know, so much fun. Unless you're Kevin and Ryan and don't understand how they work.
The prepping for this garden party, being that it is at Shroot Farms, we see the beginning of one of the best Jim pranks, in my opinion, where Jim has, I guess, found out early that this garden party was happening and that it was going to be happening at Shroot Farms. He basically self-published a guide to garden parties and managed to get Dwight to purchase it. And so Dwight is using this book as a guide through the entire episode on how to throw a fancy garden party. And he's following it basically to the letter because he has never thrown a garden party before. And also he's interested in getting his farm kind of more into the high-end events. So he wants to really make sure that this goes well.
Yeah. The book is called Throwing a Garden Party, written by James Trickington.
Perfect.
Why do you keep reading that garden party book? I mean, how hard are finger sandwiches and tea?
There's so much more to it than that. I've been wanting Schrute Farms to break into the high-end event hosting industry for some time, and this party is a great opportunity. Plus, I've got a secret weapon. Only one copy in the world, and some sucker on the internet sold it to me for $2.
I'm actually really disappointed in how poorly my book is doing. I've only sold one copy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it pays off all throughout the rest of the episode because the garden party will be just going on and then Dwight and his staff will do something completely bonkers.
I love the way they do this and the way they manage this in the episode where they have Jim reading excerpts from the book at the same time, like kind of to explain Dwight doing something weird at the garden party.
Mr. Ryan Howard!
Chapter 2. Announcing guests as they enter is the height of decorum. The more volume displayed, the more honor is bestowed upon everyone present.
Stanley Hudson and his mistress, Cynthia. James, Pamela, and P.P. Halpert.
It's done so well. I think it's so perfectly timed. The comedy of it is great. It's really well done.
So we end up at Schrute Farms, and we sort of follow Toby in, who encounters Mose. Mose has been employed as the valet for the party. Because it's a fancy party. You don't want to park yourself. But he basically like rips Toby out of the car. Toby doesn't want to... Toby's like, oh, no, there's something weird with the car. Like, you know, maybe there's evidence in there or something.
Ooh!
Mose gets it. And just bombs it down this gravel road and then into a field at full speed. And you can just like hear, I don't know if it's corn or sunflowers or something, like breaking off against the car. I mean, he just absolutely sends it.
I mean, you need to get to full ramming speed in order to get through a thick field like that.
I guess so.
It makes sense.
That's a good point.
I mean, you're in the country, haven't you?
I'm not like, in the country.
Yeah, haven't you like, you know, driven one of your trucks through a cornfield? I mean, isn't that like a rite of passage with like a deer in the back?
Mose, we catch up with him a little bit later on, but basically what he's doing is he's parking all these cars very close together with a plan to jump them, but he doesn't have a monster truck. Although I think Mose deserves a monster truck, don't you think?
You know, probably not, because then maybe he would have had the courage to jump all those cars instead of just run across them after he like gave himself a second thought.
Yeah, he's on like a Vespa or something, and he very quickly realizes it's not going to go fast enough. He is wearing a red cape, though, and a helmet, so that's good. He's prepared. And he just runs across the roofs of the car instead.
I mean, it does look pretty fun. I would really enjoy doing that.
And he's wearing a cape. So great.
So, yes, we find ourselves, after Mose has parked the cars, we find ourselves, like, attending this garden party along with everyone in the office. And we, of course, have Dwight. He is hosting, as we previously discussed. But as everyone enters, he is there announcing everyone's name. And as it says in the book, the louder you announce someone's name, the kind of more important they are. So throughout the beginning of like this garden party, Dwight is there shouting names, especially like it was extremely loud when the Bernards came in and then also when Robert California came in. And that's where we get the beautiful Robert California.
It's so good.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Robert California?
He also announces the Halperts as Pee-Pee instead of Cece, the second time now that he's gotten the child's name wrong.
Well, I mean, the last time Jim really didn't correct him. So, I mean, at this point, it's on Jim. that he's calling her pee-pee.
That may be true, yeah. Kevin has, if you notice, he's wearing the toupee that he had at the wedding. He breaks that out for fancy occasions. This is a fancy occasion.
I love that Kevin has fancy hair.
Fancy hair. Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a garden party.
Robert California shows up with the basil plant as opposed to the marmalade.
Andy, where shall I put your basil plant?
Oh, I thought you were going to bring the marmalade.
No, I'm certain you said basil.
The look he gives at the camera about, like, manipulating Andy, basically, into choosing the basil instead of the marmalade, it's so uncomfortable, but I really like it. But it is, it's just, it's that whole Robert California vibe. Like, he's not in this episode a ton. We hear the message, we see him show up with the basil plant, and he gives another one of his characteristic speeches during the garden party. But other than that, he's not like that in this episode. But man, the camera is able to capture some of these, like, really uncomfortable, like, manipulative looks. And it's just such a wonderful addition to his character. I love how they build up this character so much.
Yeah. It's like he's, like, dominated Andy somehow, and he's declaring himself the winner of something that doesn't matter at all.
Exactly. Exactly.
We get some of Dwight's book following. So he like, pulls a waitress aside and, like, dances because Jim explains that the host is the dance master and has to, like, set the tone of the party through dance, which is great. Later they reenact the Last Supper, like, with Dwight in the center.
Chapter 9. The tableau vivant is not only welcome, but expected entertainment at any garden party.
I love the outfits that are going on with Dwight and the staff, like, everything about this garden party. I would love to be in attendance and watch this. Just, it's not quite a disaster. It's just so weird that it turns the corner to being, like, really fun.
Yeah. And I mean, it even impresses Robert, who talks to Dwight later on, is like, hey, forget beet farming. Like, you should turn this place into an event venue. You know, I would rent it out for my birthday. And then, of course, Dwight makes it weird about exotic meats and goats and stuff.
Oh, really? Well, we have a number of birthday packages. The pewter package has the least amount of goats. It's not no goats. It's still 10 to 12 goats, depending on the availability of the goats. Now, the goat package obviously has the most goats. What were you thinking?
Of course, I am not interested in goats. Why would you spend so much time going over the goats with me?
I can get you exotic meats.
You know, I think Robert's onto something. I would stay at Shute Farms.
I mean, maybe. I mean, didn't they have, like, an irrigation room when Pam and Jim stayed there?
Yeah. 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 That's where Pam and Jim stayed. Their beds pushed together.
So the serious part of this episode, we see Andy's struggle with trying to impress his father. Right away, the Bernards show up and his dad says he has tickets to a show. We find out it's actually a movie. It's not even like a real, like, an importantly timed thing, because they just chose to go to a movie at the time that he was invited to this garden party. And he sits down, he right away is trying to leave. Andy is trying to give a toast, and as he says, the best part about toasts, the way that toasts can domino into other toasts to other people.
Toasts are great. I mean, you toast somebody, they toast you back. It just goes round and round. That's my favorite part about toasts, the reciprocity.
Andy tries to start it off, hoping that his staff will then toast him in front of his father. And instead, we get one of those typical office derailments where everyone ends up toasting a whole bunch of things. Ryan toasts the troops on both sides, which makes everyone very uncomfortable. We have a we have a competition between Pam and Angela, who's going to announce their baby name first, because now they both know that they have the same baby name. And it just becomes a total disaster. And Andy never gets the toast that he was expecting and the recognition that he was expecting. Instead, we finish up this whole toast sequence with Robert California's speech, which is pretty, like, self-defacing, and for him and Andy.
You want to toast the man who led you to success, but the boss is irrelevant. Andy and I produce nothing. We do nothing. We sit in our offices and demand, I want this and that, right now, like petulant children. You know, the difference between a crying baby and a manager. One day the baby will grow up.
And it talks about them being babies and diapers. And it's actually a really nice thing for the staff to hear. But it's terrible for Andy to be like in that situation in front of his dad when all he wanted was some recognition of like that he is now the leader of everyone. And he never gets it.
And his dad is such a jerk. I mean, when Andy explains that he's like the regional manager, like, oh, that makes more sense. You know, I guess they thought that he was the CEO or something. And then he like asks, oh, is everybody here a regional manager? Like, it's just such a jerk. There's no need for that. I did love the one thing about Andy's family I really like is that his brother calls Jim Tuna.
I'm Walter. I'm Andy's younger brother.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm Jim.
Tuna, right? And this must be your lovely wife, Pam.
No.
Hell no. She wishes.
No.
And Jim looks super annoyed by this. He also doesn't know who Pam is. So like he's standing next to Meredith at one point, and then later Phyllis, and like refers to them as Pam. That was kind of a funny bit. But yeah, his dad is just like unnecessarily mean. And I think that would screw anybody up. I think anybody would struggle with that.
Yeah, his dad is just kind of downright cruel. I mean, the entire time, and his mom too, because like she's along with it. Like he has a sour face. Like the camera is constantly catching him in like a disappointed look or an embarrassed look. Or he is not comfortable around anything about Andy. And so you did mention like Walter Jr., his younger brother. I don't hate Walter Jr. He seems like he's kind of like an all-around nice guy. It could be kind of fake, but I don't really get that. I think it's kind of nice that he is trying to remember the names of everybody. He does know that Jim is with a Pam. Like he seems like a really nice guy. I don't hate Mm-mm. his brother, and I think that we're not supposed to hate his brother. I think we're definitely supposed to focus all that hatred on his dad and residually also like a little bit his mom.
Yeah, I think so. I find it interesting too that like how alike they are. Like they all sing and play guitar, but when they go to like Andy wants to sing with his dad and it plays out exactly like it did last time.
It's too high.
Yeah.
It's right? High, but it's not that high.
Right. It's still strained.
Yeah, just take it down a little.
Right. Saying I love, saying I love you.
Just give it to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Something like
saying I love you is not the words.
You don't come in yet.
I want to hear from you. It's not that I want you. Not to say, but if you only knew.
I don't know. It's just so painful. It's terrible. He's a jerk.
Andy ends up running off after the whole debacle with trying to sing this duet together goes horribly wrong. And Andy's father basically steamrolls over him and like brings in his younger brother. And Andy is, you know, he runs off. He goes into the house for some little like time alone. His father finds him and starts like kind of berating him privately, as they thought. But they're in the same room where Cece was taking a nap. So the baby monitor was on and everyone in the tent who is sitting around the baby monitor on the Pam and Jim side of it hears the whole conversation that is going on, or at least part of it, until Pam turns it off because she's embarrassed over overhearing this.
Andrew, I know. I know that you're proud of me.
I'm not going to tell you how impressed I am that you're a manager of some rinky-dink branch of a paper company in Scranton, Pennsylvania. How long are you going to go on needing my approval? You're a grown man. Don't act like a little boy who needs you.
And Daryl has a confessional with the camera next to Oscar where he's saying like, wow, now I kind of like really understand why Andy acts the way he does.
I think if I had parents like that, I'd be trying to convince everyone all the time how great I was too.
So it's kind of nice that, as we discussed in the beginning of this episode, we've been seeing this kind of build for Andy and the understanding of like where he comes from. But now this is like an even more obvious, this like private moment that Andy has to like usually shoulder on his own is overheard by people. And now we all have like a much deeper understanding of why Andy struggles as much as he does for the approval of others. And I think that it's a really nice turning point, because at the end of this episode, once everyone has left and it turns into the barbecue that was made fun of in the beginning of the episode, because a garden party is better than a barbecue. But Daryl brings his grill anyway and makes it a barbecue. And the only people that are left are the staff members, and they include Andy. Like, and I think that we've seen something like this before with a Michael Scott moment where it's like, hey, come and join us. We understand you now. Like, you need this approval and we're here to give it to you. And it's a really great overall moment. I love that ending scene with all of them out on the blankets together.
Hey, everybody, I'm going to leave. And I just wanted to say I'm really sorry.
Cheeseburger or hamburger?
Cheeseburger?
Nard dog.
Thanks, Oscar.
I do want to point out in this little scene, the whole time Kelly was like freezing.
I am so cold.
It's because you didn't bring a jacket.
And trying to get a jacket from Ryan, and he just wouldn't give it to her. He ended up giving it to Robert California instead. But in the end, in this little scene of like togetherness, Kelly is finally wearing Ryan's jacket. And I think that that's kind of, I mean, it took a while, yeah. But it's sweet.
Well, Gabe also tried to give Robert California got two jackets because Gabe then swooped in and.
But yeah, the end of this episode, everyone has a little bit of warmth on their shoulders.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Even Dwight with holding up all the torches for the closing ceremonies.
I love the closing ceremony.
What are they doing?
Closing ceremonies.
Nice touch.
Totally solid episode. And I like what it gives us with Andy. And I like that we get to see a little bit more of him, like we said in the beginning. I think it's very effective at it.
Yeah, we have great gym pranks. We have really funny Dwight moments. I love his courtly dance during the garden party. I think that's really fun. Yeah, and then we have a little tag at the end that is kind of a recap of in the middle of the garden party. They show a scene where Jim keeps entering and exiting the garden party in order to force Dwight to announce his name as many times as possible, and then puts in a little bit of question about himself, like being the best salesman, and forces Dwight to say his name.
I think I left my wallet in your house.
Who cares?
Right here.
That's right.
Mr. James Halpert!
Keys. My keys.
Stop forgetting things.
I didn't forget them. They're right here. I'm stupid.
Mr. James Halpert!
I'm so sorry. I think I forgot that thing.
Wait, idiot.
Ooh. Miss?
What are you doing?
Hey, I have a question. Who do you think is really the best salesman in this office?
Stupid question, obviously.
Mr. James Halpert!
Overall, I enjoy this episode. I love this insight into Andy, and I love hanging out at Troop Farms. So A+ for me. I like this episode a lot.
Yeah, even though there's some tough stuff with Andy and his family, I like it too. And I like that we get the warmth, you know, that we enjoy from this show and some of the goofiness. Like, this has a little bit of everything, and I think that's good.
So everyone, thank you so much for listening, and be sure to go and follow us over at tall_beats on Twitter, or you can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. You can subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year, access to our members-only bonus feed, and you can join us in the conference room, our members-only Slack. We will be back next week. We're back on our regular schedule, and we'll be talking about Season 8, Episode 5, Spooked. So we'll get a real little recap of some Halloween Halloween action here in the middle of our Christmas season. but that's okay. That's okay. I love Halloween all the time. So I'm really excited for this next episode.
I feel like Halloween was like 3 days ago. What happened?
We're going to have it again. Woo! I don't know where why that
No,
happened.
But it's perfect. Nailed it.
Yeah. Just like the billboards.
I can get you exotic meats. Hippo steaks, giraffe burgers.
We'll talk.
It'll all be goat.